The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hey, looking for college hoops tomorrow night? We're the place to watch it on ESPN and the app. We got number 8 Wisconsin taking on number 10 unbeaten Michigan. That's a great one. Then we head to Rupp Arena for battle between the top teams in the SEC. Kentucky hosting Alabama. Bama's won 5 straight. It'll be terrific tomorrow night, college basketball on ESPN. Meanwhile, we're talking football here all morning long as we welcome you to another hour of Get Up. As always, we are live from the Seaport District at Pier 17. We are brought to you by Chase, Greeny, and Rex, and Dan, and RC, and we are ready to roll. Here we go. Time to get up with a Sunday night stunner. Baker and the Browns with a huge statement that changes absolutely everything. What a night. We begin there. Then, speaking of changing the narrative, Lamar Jackson off the postseason schneid, are his Ravens now a sneaky Super Bowl contender? And, of course, don't forget, tonight is the night. Alabama, Ohio State, which unbeaten powerhouse will become kings of college football? We answer all your questions as we get up with you starting right now on a morning, on a day that will end here tonight. Miami, Bama, Ohio State. You'll see all the action tonight on ESPN and the Megacast. We got you covered from every possible direction, and we will take you there live in this hour. But we begin by going backwards to the final game of the NFL's playoff Super Wild Card weekend and the upset of the night, and maybe a lot longer than that. Baker Mayfield's Browns had absolutely everything going against them. But Dan Orlovsky, Pittsburgh, this is their first offensive snap.
Yeah, Pouncey's going to step hard to his left. When he does that, centers, your hand is always going to go high and right. That's what happens with that snap. An absolutely awful start for Pittsburgh. Pouncey knows it.
That was the first play of the game, and then it just gets worse. Ben Roethlisberger, Dan, trouble.
Yeah, the internal pressure forces him to panic with the football. He's trying to find a check down. It's an awesome job by Stewart getting that one hand on it when that ball floats. A big interception. I love this route by Landry. Widen off your stem, away from that dropping linebacker. Create the window for Baker Mayfield to throw that ball to. Great with yards after the catch.
So it's 14-0, basically 5 minutes into the game, but wait, we're just getting started. Browns get it back, and look at the physicality from Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, just the finish at the goal line, a run game clinic yesterday from the Cleveland Browns. Kareem Hunt imparting his will on that Steelers defense.
We are still in the first quarter, and Dan, Ben is picked off again.
High and hot. This throw's a little bit high, and it's a little bit hot going to Diontae Johnson. We've seen some of the drops, but it's a great job by Cleveland. Catch those tips and overthrows. Huge part of this football game for their defense.
And then Rex, the physicality on the ensuing drive to punch it in for the score.
Yeah, are you kidding me? I mean, the Browns totally dominated both lines of scrimmage. That was really a difference in this game.
28-0 at the quarter. Second quarter now, Steelers with a 3rd-and-2, and it's Roethlisberger. Maybe this one isn't his fault, but Dan, it's just getting ugly, and that would be, get this, Baker Mayfield. You think he wants this one? Look at him selling out here on a big 3rd-and-6.
One of my favorite plays of the weekend, Greeny. This is Baker. Look at this effort right there. That's to kind of swing that momentum that might have been happening. Just pure talent and effort, and then the ability to take. Austin Hooper, you're not going to cover him down in the red zone on the corner route. Ball out on time. A huge end of the first half drive by Baker.
35-10 Cleveland at the half. But wait, Pittsburgh's got weapons, and they're coming back. This is Eric Ebron for a touchdown, so it's 35-16. They go for the two. They don't get it, but then more offense. They continue to work it here. Dan, it's Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah, being really aggressive, going for it on fourth down. It's a great job by Big Ben going to number 4 in the progression. Juju fighting against man coverage for the catch.
So they got themselves back in the game, and then this was really the backbreaker.
I just love it. I love the situational call. I love the formation. I love the execution by everybody on their offense. Just perfect timing for the Browns.
Dan's going to break down that whole play for you in a moment. Meanwhile, Ben Roethlisberger then threw his 4th pick of the night. He passed for 501 yards, 4 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, emotional afterwards. Baker Mayfield, meanwhile, a rewriting of his entire narrative. What a win for Cleveland.
We're here for a reason. There's a new standard, and I keep talking about it. No, I wasn't here for the things that have happened in the past. some of which I was too young to even remember. And there's a new standard, and we're going to, you know, try and keep it that way.
A dominant performance like this, what does it say about who you guys are? Who are the Cleveland Browns right now?
We're the Cleveland Browns. Same old Cleveland Browns.
So that was sort of echoing the words of Juju Smith-Schuster from during the week. We spent a bunch of time this morning talking about the Browns and the enormity of that win. Dan's going to break down a play in a minute. But RC, I got to come to you on the Pittsburgh side of things, and particularly with an aging quarterback. Where do the Steelers wake up this morning?
They wake up in a place where they can't win a Super Bowl with Ben Roethlisberger. They wake up in a place where you have to decide what you're going to do with the legend. And having played there, having played with him, having won a Super Bowl because of his excellent play and his ability to finish, I now know that this may be finished. If you put all four of the starting quarterbacks in the AFC North in the hat and you shook it up and every head coach got an opportunity to pick out of that hat, every head coach would be praying that he didn't pick Ben Roethlisberger. And that's not a place you ever expected to be. You never expected that to be what the AFC North is, because he's always been king. But now with $41 million counting against the cap, with the ability to throw the football downfield fading, and with the ability to take hits inside the pocket and improvise and make second play opportunities gone, Ben Roethlisberger can't quarterback this team to a championship. Ben Roethlisberger can't quarterback this team to huge playoff wins. And so for Mike Tomlin, for Kevin Colbert, the GM, they now have to make a huge decision. Is it going to be loyal to Ben Roethlisberger, who's given us so much, or be loyal to this organization and the fan base and find a way to move on and win a Super Bowl?
Well said. It's not about what he's been. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Of that, there is no debate. But the future is very confusing. And how do you explain it, Rex? The Browns weren't in their building, basically, for the last 3 weeks. They barely practiced. How do you explain last
year? Yeah, it was unbelievable. Look, one team was ready to play. We get that. We knew that. We just had the wrong team. Like, how the hell can Cleveland be ready? They got no head coach. They don't practice. They don't do anything. And yet, holy cow, they're ready to play. Right. And I'm going to tell you why they were ready to play. Yeah. Juju Smith-Schuster, congratulations, my friend. You had your team not ready to play, and you had Cleveland ready to play. All right? Because some stupid comment you make. Oh, yeah. Hey, we're, you know, they're the same old Cleveland Browns. Well, guess what? They ain't the same old Cleveland Browns. And here's another point for you, Juju. You ain't the same old Pittsburgh Steelers, my friend. And that's it. He walked in there thinking, hey, we're the big bad Pittsburgh Steelers. No, you're not. And you got physically punked yesterday, that entire football team. So they got some issues. Look, they were 11-0, Greeny, and everybody's praising them. I wasn't. I was concerned with them. Why? Because the style of play. That ain't Pittsburgh football. And look, that team right there, Pittsburgh, always probably, hey, you know, even their fans think they're tough, you know, and all that stuff, even though most of them are women. But anyway, they go in there, they're tough ass, we're going to do this and this. Well, guess what? Their football team's built that way. I don't see Jerome Bettis. I don't see Alan Fanick. I don't see people like that. They don't knock anybody off the line of scrimmage. They get dominated both sides of the ball, and it just ticks me off because Pittsburgh, to me, ought to be about toughness. Mike Tomlin's a tough-ass guy. He's got to bring it back. When you're going at it, it drives me crazy. They get inside the 10-yard line. Let's go to empty. Why? Why? And I know you scored. It took you four cracks at it. You scored one time. I can't stand it. It bothers me. It ain't Pittsburgh. Cleveland right now, that looks like a dang tough-ass football team. And so to me,
they're physical.
That's what wins in a playoffs. Your ability to play defense and run the football, and Cleveland's all about it. And guess what, Pittsburgh, you ain't about it.
That is extraordinarily strongly said, and I think it's hard to argue with a lot of it. Meantime, Dan, you were telling us this morning that you think the biggest play of the night came on that screen pass to Nick Chubb. How did they do it?
Yeah, Greeny, I think this screen pass is going to go down in kind of history for the Cleveland Browns, because this was the momentum changer, right? This was the undertaker for the Steelers coming back to life. And this is the nail in the coffin by the Cleveland Browns and Nick Chubb for this offense. And let's show you how it happened. So first of all, there's going to be four parts of this play that stand out. All four parts matter. Without one of the other, it doesn't happen. Robert Spillane's going to be a blitzer. Now, everybody at home, when you're running a screen, there's a rule. Never block a blitzer. Why? Because when that guy blitzes, you don't want to stop his momentum. You want the blitz to take himself out of the play. It's a great job of the Browns not blocking Robert Spillane as he blitzes. That's piece number one. Piece number two, I want everyone to keep their eyes on the center, J.C. Treader. Look at his vision on this linebacker, Williams. Now, why does he have vision on the linebacker, Williams? Because his job is to go hug the tailback, literally, to go up there and hug him. He's going to cover him in man-to-man coverage, so his job just to go rush him and hug him. Treader's job, just keep yourself in between that linebacker and the tailback. You don't have to go search downfield for him. You don't have to go somewhere. Just get your eyes on him. Keep yourself in between the linebacker and the tailback. That's step number two. Now, this is a cross screen by Nick Chubb. He's going to go from one side of the field to the other, the left side of the Baker Mayfield to the right. We don't care how you get there. You've got to get over here, over to this area. You've got to find a way to get here. A gap, don't mind. B gap, don't care. I don't care how you get there, just get there. It's a great job of Nick Chubb navigating traffic. And the last part is this, Baker Mayfield. Everybody at home, listen to me. Trust me, this is a difficult throw. I had Gary Kubiak tell me, screen passes against pressure, your job as the quarterback, find a way to get it done. Look at Robert Spillane's left hand. That's called mirroring the throwing hand, okay? He's doing exactly what he's coached to do. Baker Mayfield, you got to get up on your tippy toes. Your hand has got to get fully extended, and you want this ball coming downhill. This is great by Baker right here. Look at tippy toes, arm extended. Watch the ball come downhill. It's a great throw to Nick Chubb. The physicality downfield blocking, and no one wants to tackle him. Four parts. Don't block the blitzer. Center, vision on the linebacker. Nick Chubb, get there, and Baker, make that throw. Play calls are worthless without execution. The Browns executed perfectly.
Outstanding. Dan Orlovsky with the play of the night. As we continue, the Saints marching in on the playoffs. One member of the Bears might be marching out. We'll talk about that in a moment. And again, tonight is the night. Alabama, Ohio State. We'll tell you the one thing the Buckeyes have to do if they want to keep Bama from rolling to another national title. This is Get Up on ESPN.
My heart on my sleeve. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, back to yesterday's action. Bears, Saints, Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, all playing together for the first time since week 10. And in the first quarter, Dan, on this drive, they looked very good.
Ball out on time, especially on third down. That's who Drew Brees is. Getting the ball. I love this down the red zone. Watch Michael Thomas. Pick, pop, catch, turn. That's exactly what it should look like, both from quarterback and wide receiver.
So they went up 7-0, but the Bears defense generally played very well. And then they had this play. Dan, this play is unspeakable.
Yeah, it's a great time to dial it up. It's a remarkable throw by Mitchell Trubisky, and you just got to get your elbows together. I've never played receiver, but I've heard it a lot. Get your elbows together, make that catch. It's an enormous drop on the road.
That's one of the worst drops I think I've ever seen. And then you have Mitch Trubisky on a fourth down play, giving himself up.
Greeny, you got to sell out there. I don't care. You have to dive, give up your body to go get that first down.
I'm with you. In the meantime, it was still only 7-3 at the half. And the Bears defense sort of had them in there, but they just had no offense in the second half. And then the frustration showing. Dan, Anthony Miller will get thrown out after this play for doing this.
They're always going to get the second guy. We hear that often from our early ages of football moving on. They'll always get the guy who retaliates. It happens again to Chicago.
And then the Bears defense just couldn't hold them all day long. New Orleans finally gets going.
This is a really good throw by Drew, but an awesome adjustment by Michael Thomas. But this play is such about patience and understanding where's my outlet. Latavius Murray blocks, gets up. Don't panic with the football, Drew Brees. Little dump off. It's a big touchdown for this offense.
That made it 14-3. You're not seeing a lot of Bears offense in our highlight because, frankly, there was none. Then here's Alvin Kamara running it up the middle for the touchdown. Saints go on to win it 21-9. And the Saints fans, bring on Brady. That's who they'll get next week in what has a chance to be an epic matchup of these legendary quarterbacks going head-to-head next weekend with a combined age of 84. But what do we say coming out of this game? Ryan Clark, what is the most important thing to say coming out of the Saints win over the Bears yesterday?
This is championship-level football. This is championship-level defense. This is a team that knows who they are. The quarterback understands what his role is. Drew Brees isn't trying to bring back the days of yesteryear. He understands how to move the football, how to keep this team on pace, on target, and in the right position. And this defense flat out dominates. They stop the run, they rush the passer, and they play sticky defense on the back end. Oh, by the way, if they can't stop you, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson will just tell you something so you punch him in the face and get ejected. So it really doesn't matter. This team covers every single base. They have a huge game coming up this week against Tampa Bay, but the one thing they know is their identity, and that is very powerful. They have a great head coach who is okay with getting slimed in Jordan 11s. If anybody knows about Jays, you don't do that. That tells you where this team's mindset is.
We showed that earlier, yeah, the Nickelodeon thing. So they know who they are. That's an excellent setup, Dan, because then you go to the Chicago side, and I have a lot of history there. So as you watch them, I mean, terrible penalties one after another yesterday. Obviously, the drop in the end zone. They coach scared of their own quarterback sometimes, it seems. They punt in the fourth quarter of a game in which they're down three scores. What do we say about the Bears today?
Yeah, RC, it must be nice. I've never owned a pair of Jordans. Listen, the Bears, I think this is the question, Greeny, for them. Has the head coach done enough? And has the quarterback done enough? Like, where can the Bears organizationally point to when it comes to Matt Nagy and said, nah, this has been really good that he's done, or what he's done with the development of our young quarterback, or development of our offensive line, or development of our scheme, or the galvanizing of our football team? And then for Mitchell Trubisky, where have you proven to grow? Oh, you know what? You've become such a better thrower of the football, or your mechanics have gotten a lot better, or you aren't so reliant on being athletic. Because I think at the end of the day, while they had some success on the back end of their season, getting him outside the pocket and throwing the football, that's not long-term sustainable. Like, you're going to have to develop an in-the-pocket passing game of some capacity. And I think both those questions are they haven't done enough. And that's the bad place for the Bears right now because they don't pick high enough to change the quarterback. And at the end of the day, if you move on from the head coach, you're showing that you're going to move on from the quarterback as well. And so they're left with more questions and huge questions than answers moving forward.
And the quarterback becomes a free agent. Remember, this was his fourth year. They didn't pick up the fifth-year option. So they have a million different questions to answer in Chicago. Maybe we'll start getting some of those this week. All right, quick break here. We are jam-packed as we continue on Get Up This Morning. Coming up next, Lamar Jackson put on a show, got off the postseason schneid, but are his Ravens now a sneaky Super Bowl contender? That answer next. Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back on Get Up, and Rex, here's a play that had no bearing on the outcome but mattered a lot. Jimmy Graham on the last play of regulation yesterday, one-hand catch, and then runs right into the tunnel.
Yeah, I mean, look at that catch, man.
And look, game's over right here. And I'll be honest with you, Greeny, I thought you had to kick the extra point, but that rule changed.
In 2018. Yes, and that's pretty significant considering the fact that the game winds up 21-9 and a two-point conversion would have made it 21-11, but I digress. Tonight is the night, Alabama, Ohio State. We'll tell you the one thing Justin Fields has to do if he's going to wind up the winner. That's next. Get up on ESPN. People know my name
and they never go for. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
My new show debuting on January 11th on ESPN Plus will be called Stephen A's World. The half-hour show will have expert analysis, signature debate panels, and can't-miss interviews.
Yes!
In my honorable mention segment, I'll be answering fan video questions.
Yes!
I'll be giving relationship advice.
Yes!
And I'll have weekly visits from the one and only baby Stephen A.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Sign up now at ESPNplus.com.
That is the greatest
Absolutely
thing I've ever seen. Okay, AFC wild card in Tennessee. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens taking on the Titans. And Dan Orlovsky, second drive for Tennessee. They looked very good.
This is a great job of the inside slot fade by A.J. Brown using the big physical body in the one-on-one matchup.
But they wouldn't score another touchdown the rest of the day. Meanwhile, Lamar Jackson did not start well. This pick made you very nervous.
I hated the play call. It wasn't the time for the play call. It's a bad throw by Lamar, and I'm sitting there going, why are they throwing the football? A poor start for their offense.
But then this play turns everything around. They've been down 10-0, and then Lamar Jackson does something that literally he may be the only person on the planet who could do it.
No, he is, Greeny. He's the only guy that in that situation, 3rd and 9, man coverage, sees that seam. Watch the burst right there. The burst by the safety that's spying him, Kevin Byard, the ability to run away from everybody on Tennessee's defense, that is special in itself.
So they came from 10-0 down. Remember the narrative, he can't play from behind. Well, now they're tied at 10, and the story of the day, Dan, was him running with the ball.
Yeah, the ball to the perimeter really to start the second half was such a good job. The zone read, get the defender to play hesitant for just a second, then the ability to finish. You get that pulling fullback, Patrick Ricard, and then J.K. Dobbins just finds that crease behind him. A great drive to start the second half for Baltimore.
And it was a big moment in the fourth quarter with his team down 17-13. Ryan Tannehill incomplete to Jonnu Smith, and Mike Vrabel would elect to punt instead of going for it on fourth down. We'll talk about that coming up. Meanwhile, then it was Lamar. Again, more from him. He ran for 136 on the day.
Power read. It was a big play call, power read, an awesome job. And then watch the push by this Ravens defensive front. The line of scrimmage never changes on that 3rd and 1. 4th and 1,
held
I like
Derrick
the
Henry.
Aggressive play call.
Yeah, they held Derrick Henry to only 40 yards rushing. Now here on this fourth down, the Titans have to go for it, so they do when they get it. But then two plays later, this is your ball game.
It's a great play by Marcus Peters. He plays with vision on the quarterback. He sees the receiver start to make that inside break, and he's going to go collapse on the football, make that pick. We all know he's an incredible ball hawk. And then you see that sideline team celebrating on that logo.
Yeah, there's a lot of payback there considering the history, but that was a 15-yard penalty, and it might have mattered because the Ravens needed to get a first down, but they do, and then Lamar does this. Look at the understanding of the game situation. Just takes a seat, and that's all she wrote. Again, he ran for 136. It would have been more, except he takes a knee at the end of the game. And then for the first time in his career, victory formation for Lamar Jackson in the postseason, and no love lost, no handshakes involved. Off they go. The Ravens win. What a victory to rewrite the narrative.
We gave a game ball to Lamar and really the whole team backing him up and having his back for his first playoff win. It's something that he won't have to talk about in the future, and that's a meaningful thing.
It's just my 3rd year in the league, and it's I don't really care what people say. You know, I'm just happy we got the win, you know, to move on in the next round. That's all.
All right, so much to be said here. Ryan, let's start with the narrative. Lamar Jackson turned 24 years old this past week, but he was 0-2 in the playoffs, and we all know what the narrative was. What's the narrative now?
The narrative now is that Lamar Jackson can win football games playing his way. And not just regular season football games, but meaningful playoff games. And, you know, me and Bart Scott went at it on Friday. I think he had his Jets green on because he couldn't see that the Baltimore Ravens were moving to a place that Lamar Jackson could just be himself. You come into a game and you say that your quarterback is going to give you 300 plus total yards, you think that you can win. But because it looks different, because it hadn't worked in the last two playoffs, people started to doubt Lamar Jackson. And now when you look at this team and you say, you know what, Greg Roman, you know who your quarterback is. The Baltimore Ravens, you know who your quarterback is. And to the rest of the world, we can win with him being himself. That is large. That is huge. And I talked about it on Friday. He's the only quarterback from the 2018 draft that we were judging on playoff wins alone. And isn't it crazy? We got three of them left. And he is a guy who now is put in a position to go up against Josh Allen and get his team into the AFC Championship because he is unique. And that uniqueness produced huge plays yesterday. That uniqueness produced a win yesterday. And when those guys ran off of the field after Lamar Jackson took a knee in the victory formation, that was talked about. That was personal. This was personal in so many ways, and they walked off the field with the W because of their quarterback.
Yes, so many good points there, including the fact that you're right. Three of the five first-rounders from that year are still alive in these playoffs. They all got their first playoff wins this weekend. Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson. I just want to ask you this question, and bearing in mind, Rex, that we are a family show here.
Right.
Well, you're the defensive coordinator, and Lamar runs for that touchdown that he ran for. When you have a really good call on third and nine, what words come out of the defensive coordinator's mouth?
Greedy, don't do that to me. I can't say. I can't,
can't even
focus
do that.
On it.
He can't even fake it.
I can't fake it. There's no way because the first. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Because you're. I mean, right
it
away.
Would be my goodness. And,
hey Ryan, you know darn well. Like you can't. Like this guy's so special. Don't pass the quarterback. Yeah. Don't pass the quarterback. Don't pass the quarterback. Oh shoot, he went past the quarterback. Bam, there it goes. And that's what it was. They had it played great. But you know what you can't stop?
Nope.
The best player on the field. And you can't do it for 60 minutes. They had one slip up, cost you a touchdown.
Yep.
That's how special this guy is. Look, not since Steve Young have we had a guy like this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that gets me. Look, Steve Young won a Super Bowl. This guy right here can win a Super Bowl. And Dano and I always talked about it because he knows I'm a huge fan of Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
No question about it. I love the guy. And I said, even when these guys were 6-5, not 11-0, Pittsburgh fans, I said, this is the team to watch
hey,
out
Rex,
for.
Hey, Rex, calm down, Rex.
I didn't say it.
Calm
know,
down,
I
bro.
Said it.
It's difficult enough.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you. But here's the reason. This, I know how difficult it is. Ryan and I both know. It is so hard to stop running quarterbacks, especially guys that can throw and be multiple like Lamar Jackson. Look, guys, he was the MVP of the league.
Yeah.
The MVP of the league.
Right.
And that's what people forget. Well, he's still that guy back there.
Do I have time? I want to get this in because we haven't yet. I want to play this. Mike Vrabel yesterday, head coach of the Titans, who's done a brilliant job there. Of that, there is no debate. Made a decision that a lot of people have been talking about. He punted on a 4th-and-2 in plus territory in the fourth quarter. Let's hear his thinking after the game.
No, just decided to punt. Thought we were playing well defensively. Thought we would get a punt inside the 10 and, you know, be able to play the field position game. Had some time there that I felt like, you know, we could.
For the record, Pro Football Reference said this is the first time in their database going back to 1994 that a team in the playoffs punted on 4th-and-2 from that field position down one score in the fourth quarter. So for whatever it's worth, it's something that has not happened before. Dan, what did you think of the decision?
I thought it was an atrocious decision. I said it on the megacast when we were doing it yesterday. I think that now the Tennessee Titans, both organizationally and players and coaches, have to kind of spend the offseason with regret. You have to spend the offseason with what could have been. Like, here's the thing. If you go for it on 4th-and-2 and you get stopped, you just tip your hat to the other team. We weren't good enough. At least we threw our punch. At least we tried. Now you're going to sit there and go, well, we
they
punted
lived in fear.
With the 6'4" tailback, one of the best run games in football. And now they got to sit there and go, what could have been? what would have happened if we went for it. Maybe we could have gotten it. Maybe we busted a run. Maybe there was a way to go win that football game. As players, we always want the chance. And mm-hmm. I thought punting there was an awful decision by Mike Vrabel.
Super quick, RC, you used the word
they
fear.
Got Greeny. No, Greeny, they got punked. They got punked into punting. Right? Usually by that point in the game, Derrick Henry has worn out the defense. He was getting hit slapped in his face. Right? So it wasn't a situation where the Baltimore Ravens would be scared of that. On the outside, they were clamping down on A.J. Brown in a way that they weren't early on in the game. I believe that the Tennessee Titans punted out of fear.
Wow.
Because they felt like with their defense, maybe they had a better chance than getting 2 yards. And that is a testament to the defense of the Baltimore Ravens. They physically dominated the Tennessee Titans yesterday, so much so that Mike Vrabel, who has done a great job coaching, a great job of taking chances, decided that it wasn't even worth it.
Rex, I got 15 seconds.
Yeah.
You're a coach. You've had to make that decision.
What'd you think? This is what he's basing it on. Not that his defense is playing well. No. 11 of 18 rushing attempts, his running back was hit behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, yep.
That's what he based it on, what Ryan talking about, how that defense played great against a hell of an offense.
Yep.
And then for you not to go for it, that's all you needed to know about that game.
We have much more on the NFL as we continue. But this reminder, we got a monster game coming your way tonight. It's Alabama and Ohio State for college football's national championship, and neither of them are strangers to the stage. No two schools have appeared in the national title game more often in the BCS/CFP era. And you got the coaches, Nick Saban, looking for a record-breaking 7th national championship against Ryan Day, who can become the 7th coach to win a title in his first 2 full seasons, and the quarterback play should be awesome. Mac Jones and Justin Fields, 1 and 2 in the country in total QBR this year. Both will be first-round picks in the upcoming draft, and they get the stage tonight in this city. Miami will be the place for Alabama and Ohio State tonight to decide college football's national championship. You'll see it all over ESPN and the family of networks and all that, and our coverage continues. Look who's here with us today. Tim Tebow and Paul Feinbaum have gotten up with us this morning. Great to see both of you guys. And so, Tim, I want to start with you. You know what it's like to go up against Nick Saban and one of his defenses. So what does Justin Fields have to do to be successful tonight?
Well, I think the first thing we need to understand is this is not a normal Nick Saban defense. It's a good defense, and they have 2 good corners, but they're not the same intimidating, fearless, have alpha males all over the field. This is a defense that has some pretty good statistics, but we also have to remember, against Ole Miss, they went right up and down the field. Florida, right up and down the field. And I think Justin Fields going into this game, I think he needs to be ready to adjust, because I think Nick Saban's going to give him multiple different forms of looks. But I think Justin Fields needs to be ready and willing. I think he is to also use his legs. When they get the man coverage, he's got to be able to find a way. Listen, go back to Matt Corral. He did it with his legs. Even Kyle Trask, who's not necessarily the best athlete, was able in pressure to move around, buy a little bit of time. Because Alabama does have 2 really good corners in Josh Jobe and Patrick Surtain, I think Justin Fields' legs are key in this game to open up the downfield passing game later in the game.
Something to watch for. Paul, you said before the Clemson game, Fields has to play the game of his life, and he did. What do you expect for him tonight?
Well, he has to do it again, Greeny, and his health is the issue. And I don't know really his condition, and we won't know until the game starts, but he got banged up badly. Certainly, Tim understands this as well as anyone. It affects your preparation, and I think that's the key to this game. And Tim mentioned the Ole Miss game. Lane Kiffin said this week that the way to beat Alabama is to be relentless, to do trick plays, to do what Mike Vrabel didn't do yesterday. Go for it on 4th and 2. You can't give up a possession against this team or you will lose.
Let's talk about the quarterbacks here, Tim, and let's talk about Mac Jones. He actually has the highest QBR in the country. What are you watching for from him tonight?
Well, I think he actually has the highest QBR in the history of the metric. This guy has been incredible. But what I think he really needs to do in this game tonight is be patient. He's been so good throwing the ball down the field, but I really believe Ohio State is going to play a lot of different 3-zone and 3-match coverage where they're either rushing 4 or maybe bringing a 5th. And so I think they're going to really try to keep everything in front of him. And I think he needs to accept and be okay with the check down, because you're still getting it to great playmakers. This is something he's done so well all year, is being willing to check it down and check it down quickly to get it to Najee or one of those playmakers who can make a big play with it. Don't th- think I need to press just because it's the national championship. If he does that, I think they'll be just fine.
And then there's just no stopping them, right? You can slow them to some degree. But I asked this question to David earlier. I'm fascinated. Tim, if you're Ohio State, how many points do you think you need to score to win tonight?
See, I don't just think it's the number of points. I think it's also the style of play. I think, yeah, at times you need to go no huddle to keep off Alabama off balance and really make them vanilla on defense. But I also think there's times where you need to slow it down and you need to control the time of possession and you need to keep your defense off the field. So it's not just a point thing. It's a style of play thing. But if we have to go with points, I think it's 41. I think that number would be 41. I think if you're able to get a, you know, I think it, if Ohio State wins, I think it'll be more of a 41-38 type game where they score at the last minute, a go-ahead touchdown. But I think that would be the number I'll be looking for. But more than just points, I really believe style of play. Keep your defense fresh and off the field.
That's really interesting insight. And so, Paul, and no one knows sort of the history of this better than you do. What would a championship tonight mean for Nick Saban and his legacy?
It removes any doubt, Greeny, that he's the greatest coach of all time. And I say that as someone who covered the last 2 years of Paul Bryant. When he retired, everyone said, greatest coach of all time has stepped down. But Bear Bryant won 6 national championships at Alabama in 25 years. Nick Saban, with a win tonight, will have won his 6th national championship at Alabama since 2009. He won one at LSU, so that would give him 7. The debate's over. He's it.
I think that's right. If you should have seen the reaction on Rex's face when you said that. So the point that you made is well taken. Guys, thank you both for getting up with us. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll have plenty of coverage as we go. Again, it's the national championship game presented by AT&T. It's Alabama, Ohio State. It's tonight, 8 Eastern. And we have you covered on every platform, TV, radio, digital. We hope you will enjoy. Back to the NFL as we continue next. Tampa, Tom, and the Bucs took care of business on Saturday. Dan Orlovsky has the one player who is the key for Brady making another Super Bowl run. You'll hear who that is next. Come on, get up. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Today, a massive pregame for the national championship. How Justin Fields willed the Buckeyes to win.
I'm going to do whatever I need to do to help this team out, and that's what I did.
Devontae and Dez, 2 Heisman winners, go one-on-one, and Najee's hurdle made more than a new fan.
You actually hurdled a whole human.
It all starts 1:30 Eastern, leading up to the College Football Playoff National Championship.
Reese, we're looking forward to that. Meanwhile, we are busy here this morning on ESPN. Greeny and Rex, Dan Orlovsky, Ryan Clark with you on Get Up. 10 more minutes for us, commercial free. And then top of the hour, it's time for First Take, and they'll be ready to go as well. They're talking about Lamar Jackson and what was an enormous win for him. Did that silence all of his critics? Meanwhile, Stephen A. has thoughts on his beloved Steelers getting knocked out. It's Stephen A., Max, and Molly at the top of the hour right after we wrap up Get Up. Meanwhile, Brady and Breeze, that's what's next. Back in week one, they met up for the first time between 40-year-old quarterbacks ever in NFL history, and Breeze and the Saints won. Then their second meeting this year was the worst defeat of Tom Brady's career, 38-3. And so the Saints swept the matchup. But now we get part three. The first playoff game ever between Brady and Breeze will also be the first time in NFL history that the top 2 career leaders in passing touchdowns will meet. That is sort of the headline grabber of what should be a fabulous weekend of divisional play action coming up ahead of us. You see all the action there. You see all the names, and we look forward to all of it. But let's dive right into talking here, because, Dan, you were telling us this morning that there is one player who you think is key to Tampa and Tom Brady's chances of winning the Super Bowl, and that player is
Antonio Brown.
I mean, he's become an integral part of this offense. One with just getting him touches. Like, he's in the flow of the offense. He now understands it. He's got his feet back underneath him when it comes to a football sense. And then two, he's winning on routes. He's winning against that man-to-man coverage. And the three, he's seeing things the same way as Tom Brady. Sit in the zones when you're supposed to. Sit in the window, run through the window. And having that same feel and vision of how Tom is seeing the defense. And you're watching this offense really kind of get understanding of who they are. It's a play-action-based offense right now. The play-action has become such a big part of Tom Brady's success because it's keeping him protected. It's giving them the ability and the time to allow those big playmaking receivers and those tight ends to win on those cross-field routes. And Tom's got a great understanding of seeing those guys open up windows. I want everyone at home to understand play-action pass does really two things for an offense. One, it does create chunk throws. It creates chunk windows getting the defense to suck up off the play-action fake. But also it allows for extra bodies in protection. It gets a defensive line to play slow. That's why it's been so impactful. The play action pass is more so to keep Tom clean and give him time to throw more than trying to create chunk passes.
So, RC, I'll make it as simple as I can. I just told you when these teams met last, it was 38-3 New Orleans. Why should we expect this to be different?
Because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are totally different.
Yes.
Sometimes you have to get humble to understand what you need to change. We will always talk about no risk it, no biscuit, and Rex would be upset every Monday morning, but they now understand that that's not who Tom Brady is, that the play-action game has to be a part of this, that you have to protect him. And also, they have skilled players everywhere, and like Dan said, now Antonio Brown, who for 6 years was the best wide receiver in this league, has become an integral part of what they do. This team is different on offense. I think they have a different confidence, but more than anything, they have a different understanding of who they all are. And when you watch this team, yes, there's no pouting. There's no one upset because they aren't getting the ball, because they are figuring out ways to get it to everyone. I think that this game will be tightly contested. I believe that it's going to be based on the Tampa Bay defense's ability to make stops more so than the Tampa Bay offense to score, because I think they will.
Mm. And the combined ages of the quarterback is 84 years old. Rex, what do you think?
Yeah, when I look at it, like, Ryan is so right here. Look, if you – yesterday they ran it like 30 times, okay? If you combine both games against New Orleans, that would be 30 times.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, that's what it has to change. Dan talked about the play-action game. The play-action game only works if you're willing to run the football. Because if not, the D-line's right, going to tee off on the quarterback like we saw the other two times. Mm-hmm. To me, that's what it's going to be. I don't care about if you get stoned initially or whatever. Keep running that ball. That's going to protect Tom Brady and open this thing up and use guys like Antonio Brown and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, all of that. And look, nobody's a better play-action quarterback than Tom Brady ever. And now you got it figured out, but you have to. Please stay committed to the run. If not, you're going to get your butt kicked again.
Maybe a healthy Ronald Jones would be a very important storyline as we go through this week, as he has been banged up. Meanwhile, sometimes on these Mondays, the Saturday playoff games get short tripped. So I wanted one good take from all the guys here on the Saturday games. And Dan, I'm starting with you. What is your number one takeaway from Saturday?
Josh Allen's unstoppable. And I was right in week two when I told everybody he was an MVP candidate. I mean, if you watched him just play from the pocket, he was outstanding. But then you watch him as a playmaker when the play wasn't there or he had to go be special with his feet. The outside, the structure plays were just remarkable. The red zone, this red zone play is out of this world. I mean, this play, the scramble and then the throw to Dawson Knox was just great. So he's outstanding in rhythm and he's outstanding out of rhythm right now. He's unstoppable playing football.
Rex, looking back at Saturday, what was your number one takeaway?
That defense still wins. And the L.A. Rams, this sounds crazy, but they remind me of the 2000 Ravens. They do. They have the most dominant unit in the National Football League, that being that defense. They're head and shoulders better than any defense in the league. Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd rushing the passer, relentless pass rush. And you had the best corner in football in Jalen Ramsey. And so to me, look, we had a thing in 2000. Once we got a lead, game was over, because if they don't score, they don't win. That's what makes this football team dangerous. Mm. And by the way, I've been super hard on Jared Goff, but He got my respect because he's tough as hell.
Came out there tough with that broken thumb.
Yep.
They go up against Aaron Rodgers this weekend, so you want to talk about strength against strength. RC, what was your number one takeaway from Saturday?
That we're going to have to lay off of the Russell Wilson is like Aaron Rodgers and Pat Mahomes talk. Early on in the year, he was cooking. I mean, he was cooking on the Viking. By the end of the season, he was cooking on the hot plate I cooked with at Broussard Hall when I was a freshman at LSU. And, I mean, it started out, and, you know, he was Benihana. By the end of the season, he was more ramen noodle. And gone are the days where we think like we think about Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes, where we say just because they have Russ, they can win. That's not it. He has to play it down. He has to be surrounded by people. Is he a great quarterback? Yes. A Hall of Famer? Probably. A Pro Bowler? Yes. But he's not the dude that walks into the stadium and wins you games every week. And we just have to accept it.
Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, what flavor? Because the only flavor is chicken ramen noodle. Beef was nasty.
Well enough. Meanwhile, one more order of business before we make way for First Take, and that is tonight's game. You got the mega cast, you got the national championship. It couldn't get better. The eighth straight year, we're blowing out our broadcast with coverage on every platform, TV, radio, digital, so many ways to watch and listen and experience the biggest game of the college football season, and it leaves us with time to make picks. It's Ohio State. It's Alabama. A year ago today, RC, we were together in New Orleans, and you were all excited. You and Marcus were going with LSU. A little different feel for
you this morning.
Who do you like tonight, Alabama, Ohio State?
You know, I like Alabama. When I'm watching the Ohio State defensive backs cover against Clemson, even though they played well up front, they just weren't tied in. They didn't look good in man-to-man. And there's a dude by the name of Devontae Smith that plays for the Alabama Crimson Tide, and he's just unstoppable. I think he gets big plays on his defense. I believe that they rush the passer well and give Justin Fields some problems. And on the back end with Job and Patrick Surtain, they'll make some plays. Alabama wins the game.
Dan Orlovsky, you did college games all season long for us. Who you like tonight?
I'm going to take Ohio State. I think that defense for Ohio State is actually going to try and play patient football like Arkansas did against Alabama to minimize Devontae and Mac Jones, keep the ball in front of them. They'll be really disciplined with their gap integrity against the run game. And then when you go back and watch that Clemson game, Ryan Day was unbelievable. I think he's going to have another unbelievable night and Ohio State wins.
Rex?
Yeah, I never even watched the rest of the end of the Ohio State Clemson game. I was mortified, quite honestly. But I'm still going to take Alabama, man. That offense looks unstoppable. And don't let Jalen Waddle play. That'll be crazy. But I think the difference is going to be Justin Fields has answered every question for Ohio State. The only question I haven't seen him answer yet is what he's like under pressure. That's what Alabama's going to do. I think they pressure this young man. And he's a little wobbled back there. Let's see if he can handle it.
Let's see how banged up he is. He took that huge hit last week. But I will take Ohio State in part because I like to rep the Big Ten. And in part because I always said sometimes you don't pick the year picks you. And with all the things that have happened to Ohio State this season, it would be an extraordinary story if they finish it with a championship. Thank everybody for getting up with us. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.